You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks.
Hola.
By geeks.
Buenas noches, buen día, bienvenida, bienvenida a The Real Short Box. Mi nombre, Supreme Leader Kevin.
What? What are you saying?
What am I saying?
Yes.
I am just using different lingua francas for our introduction today.
You have completely alienated our international audience with that.
No, I have not. I'm actually connecting us to our international audience.
Okay, well, in that case, then,
What?
That was worse than gringo. Like, that was worse than gringo Spanish.
No, it's not.
Ich habe nein keine Idee.
Es ist.
I thought you spoke more Deutsch.
That is Deutsch.
Didn't sound good Deutsch
to me. Das ist nicht gut. Das ist nicht so gut.
There we go. That sounds better.
Sehr gut.
That sounds better.
Yeah.
That sounds better. Yeah.
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 Vielleicht?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got the King's language here going. Let's move on. What are we talking about here in English?
Apparently, the gentlemen have decided to discuss if comic book movies and TV shows are oversaturated or will become oversaturated in the next few years as we're now entering a new decade of the 2020s, have we hit critical mass? Will there start being a decline in box office, in television ratings, in just people caring about these comic book movies and TV shows? So that's what we're going to discuss here. I'm going to referee this because these two are going to go at it. One believes it's going to keep going on for the next 10 years or so. The other one believes that we're entering dark times.
Now, you're going to put a big question mark at the end of this.
Of course.
Because I want to make sure.
A Riddler question mark.
In typical, you know, debate fashion, we will just talk in circles like lawyers here. But we will bring out our points.
You will?
Yes.
You guys are from Ohio. You have some great attorneys from Ohio. And you have a great record-setting quarterback from Ohio.
Ah, yes. One Joseph Burrow.
Yes, 60 touchdowns. Good Lord.
And you have the best
PlayStation, the Xbox numbers.
Best thing about him is
he's a good guy.
He transferred from Ohio State. He didn't play for them.
No. He did for a bit, but he just didn't start for them. That's what you mean.
That's what I mean. Yes.
And he's going to be the number one pick, probably.
More than likely. There's no question.
You know what? If we had a chance, our team would kill for him.
I mean, he's something.
Oh, let's go back to talking about golf.
All right.
Let's get to it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up the movies coming out this year in 2020. And you guys tell me which one you think are going to do well and which ones you think are not going to do well. And if this could be the year of critical mass.
Well, I think for starters, we want to take a look at what we have on television, what we have on film coming.
Yeah.
On television alone, we've got Vision. We've got WandaVision. Moon Knight. We've got She-Hulk. We've got Captain Falcon and Winter Soldier.
That's right.
We've got we got The Boys coming up again. Umbrella Academy's coming back. We've got a ton of content. Watchmen probably season 2 will hit at some point.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 9 probably, right?
I can't even believe that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still
it's
on.
It's still on. I can't believe it's still on.
I can't. I predicted after season 1 it was done. And it's made an amazingly resilient job of keeping in on track as far as like making it.
Now here's a premise that I'd like to put out there, because this premise is going to be where a number of my perspectives come from. I think when people talk about comic book film or television content, it's really easy for people to get pigeonholed into thinking that Marvel is all we're talking about here. Because in many ways, it is the plastic straw that is illegal now in California that is stirring that drink is Marvel. But you have to remember, like, comic books go way beyond Marvel, folks. And if Marvel can create the content and put it out on TV and on big screens, independent comics can do this. DC can do this. So I think it's important to point that out, because there are some people, especially of the more millennial, who will come up to me and think that Marvel is really the only comic book in town. It's just not true.
It's really not true.
And it's so sad.
The CW alone is completely run by DC Comics. If there wasn't for DC Comics, I don't know that the CW would necessarily exist any longer.
Sure. And Warner Brothers, of course, has been elevated tremendously by DC content.
And they will probably take it to another level.
Now that it's AT&T? Sure. I cannot believe that. I cannot believe a cell phone company owns Warner Brothers.
So Ma-Bell. Ma-Bell owns. It's
kind of insane.
The Ma-Bell only reason
owns,
I'm not.
Well, isn't that funny? Ma-Bell owns DC and the mouse owns Marvel.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, what the only reason it doesn't shock me is because low-key, AT&T is like the largest company in the world.
It's one of them.
In many respects. Like, the stock market might not agree with me, but AT&T has faced antitrust suits, all sorts of things, and they just always come out bigger than they were. So, yeah, that's not a company
going
anywhere.
They were the first company to have an iPhone, too, were they not?
Yes. Originally, you had to have an iPhone. If you wanted to get an iPhone, you had to have AT&T.
And there was a big thing on this past season of Silicon Valley where they were trying to get a deal with AT&T so they could put their free Wi-Fi network or whatever out and give it out to the world. So AT&T is a big player for sure.
Oh my God, yeah.
Let's just hope that they can interfere enough that they can put DC back on the mark, you know, where they need to be. Because we've seen some success.
Need to be competitive.
And we'll see ultimately with some of the stuff, you know, that's coming out. You're getting so many big films now. You're getting the only people that can compete with Marvel at this point in Disney is DC and AT&T / Warner Brothers. They're the only people that can compete with them on that level. Otherwise,
There's a third option if they want to really dig deep. Apple. They got money. If they ever want to buy out one of these studios.
I'm not even talking about this. Apples and oranges, and quite literally, you're talking potatoes.
So, Donald, I agree with you today. That's the case. But movies like Bloodshot can get a grassroots swell, which eventually could lead up to.
Sure, The Mask was a cute little film, and it did well, and it made some money.
Yes.
But then they pumped out The Shadow, which was a failure. Then it pumped out Tank Girl, which was a failure.
Yes.
Then it pumped out.
Was the one with Pamela
Anderson? Judge Dredd was a failure.
Barbed Wire. Which was a failure.
Judge Dredd was a failure.
As many of these independent hits, for one independent hit that we had at least seven or eight failures. The Phantom.
Spawn.
Failure. Spawn. Failure.
But the Crow succeeded.
Everything
first
down the line. Yeah, that's another one where it's a rare success within the independent comic world. Don't think Bloodshot's going to do well. Ninja Turtles is a whole different movie.
It really I hear you, yeah, both sides of that.
New Mutants.
Trailer looked pretty cool.
Yeah, the trailer did look cool. The second trailer that they came out with, it looked actually reasonably good. It's smart because it's got a horror element to it, yet a superhero element to it. This could be a sleeper hit for them. It's not a guarantee. It could also fall flat on its face.
Plus, it has the power and the backing of Disney marketing.
Right. But it could also be a hit. So I'm on the fence on this one. But I will say that Marvel is teetering on oversaturation.
Oh, I want to say a word on New Mutants. Go ahead. Just my experience working in the movie theater world and dealing with distribution, New Mutants is very toxic to me in many respects because they just won't release the darn thing. And that tells me a lot. Just a hunch.
You're concerned about that.
I'm hugely concerned about that. So Donald might be on the fence. I'm teetering more towards this is not going to work.
Really?
My opinion.
Okay.
Here's the thing
enough.
With that,
fair,
though.
Fair opinion. Fair opinion.
Here's the counter to your counter. I think the fact
like
that
crossfire.
Basically Fox knew that they there was going to be some acquisition or there was going to be some interest.
Yep.
They knew that they were,
I'm gonna
they
buy
were
you.
Entertaining a sale before they were they before they even announced the release date on New Mutants. So they pulled that because they wanted that to be a viable product for Disney. They wanted to entice Disney. They didn't want to release that and say, you know, this is what we did. They already have two iffy kind of – they knew that Dark Phoenix was going to be a long shot. They really did because they've already done it. But they wanted to kind of hang on to the New Mutants. So they put that on the back burner for that reason. I think that's part of the reason, because they knew that would be part of the sales pitch with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So when Disney acquired it, Disney, again, they didn't know quite what to do with it because there's this horror element to it, and Disney's all Mouse House and smiles.
Right.
And this is technically the final Fox X-Men movie.
So they were like, okay, well, they have this thing. We don't know if it's going to be a good hit or not. And you even said in conversation that Feige actually liked it and said not to do too much to it.
Right.
So there's potential there. There absolutely is. And I think this might be more of a sleeper hit than hopefully than we recognize, because I would like it to succeed, because I would like to see them delve more into these minor characters.
I was just about to say that. That'd be really fun. If it succeeds, we'll see more of these.
If we can open up this X-Men universe, this whole mutant universe, that's the introduction to it right there.
Absolutely. It'd be awesome.
Well, they've
been your rebuttal.
They've been blessed to have an opportunity to redo their X-Men universe.
But you see disaster.
No, just on this specific film, just my hunch says there's toxicity. But yeah. What I'm saying is,
and that's fair.
I've said this on every prospecting episode literally since I've been on this program. Get on those X-Men titles because this universe is being rebuilt. Yep. Now, I'm of the opinion there's a possibility that X-Men might not be what we think it is from a movie perspective. There's always this possibility. Can't ignore that. But you have to have some faith and give them some trust. And it's exciting. It's like when you're investing in a new company. It's all exciting at first because you don't quite know. But you know what? Hey, maybe it takes off. Maybe. But if New Mutants doesn't take off, the X-Men universe in one way or another should.
And it will.
So you were coming next?
Black Widow.
Guaranteed hit.
Is that because you're in love with Scarlett Johansson? Is that
why you're saying that? You know, I will admit, like, when she was first introduced to the world, my pants were tight. I will admit that.
She was in that movie, was it Ghost World, I believe? I think that was one of her first movies.
Yeah, she was in Ghost World. And we're similar to the same age realm where that's okay. But this one, I got a feeling that this is more Winter Soldier than anything else. I think this is the predecessor.
It does have a vibe.
This is the predecessor to Winter Soldier. I think we're going to get some good shit here. I think it's her time. I think Marvel knew.
And the Taskmaster.
Marvel knew that they owed Scarlet. Marvel knew that they owed the audience members that they have to come out with a good female, powerful
this
film.
This should have came out before
strong.
Captain Marvel, though.
Absolutely. And Captain Marvel should not fucking exist. And you know my thoughts on that as far as like that movie.
Oh, Brie Larson was slapping in the face. Okay,
Slap her back.
So here's the thing. I don't think it's... I think to really make this conversation more complex for our audience... Obviously, a movie like Black Widow, I don't think any of us are going to disagree about the box office return. I think we're all pretty clear that money will be made on this. Mm-hmm. Just look, if you just know your basic distribution, May 1st, they don't put movies there to fail. I promise you. But my whole thing is, what is the quality of the movie? That's how I'm going to probably try to answer these questions. Not the success of them. Obviously, I think it's fair to ask that about Bloodshot because it's a smaller character. But I'm just saying, like, the quality of this movie. And so far, like, the trailer looks fine, but I still need to see more for quality for my purposes.
What kind of quality are you looking for, sir?
Something I enjoy.
Yeah.
That's not that hard.
To put it into a quick perspective.
It's directed by a woman named
Bloodshot.
Kate Jordan.
The first appearance of Bloodshot still goes for around $30 to $50.
Sure.
The first appearance of the villain, one of the villains in the Black Widow film, the Taskmaster. First appearance of him is a $700 to $1,000 book almost at this point. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And yes, it's part of the Marvel hype machine, but also because of the consistency and the quality that they're putting into the films.
Yes.
So people that are investing in these books also know that usually you're going to get a decent movie out of it. So I think we will.
No, and for sure. And I think it's also, it's good to play to our audience that we're looking at the quality here because obviously, Avengers Endgame took in $2.7 billion or something crazy like that.
Almost three. Just under three, yeah.
But I had issues with the art of it because I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to. You know, and I just think these are the kinds of things. And Black Widow, so far so good on it. But I'm not in love with Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow. I don't dislike it. But I'm just not in love with it. That's all. But we shall see.
She was great in Winter Soldier.
Would you tell that to her face?
Fantastic. But I will tell you this. She can win me over at any point. I don't want to not be in love with her, but I'm just saying. Maybe
would you
this,
tell this to her
maybe
face,
this
sir?
One-off move. I've told Scarlett Johansson some pretty firm stuff to her face. Okay. You know this because I told you I did this.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with that. I just, on her solo movie here, this might actually be the moment that I can turn for her.
Remember when Chris, we used to all work at, all three of us, we used to work at the Arclight Cinemas in Hollywood. And remember when Chris, our friend Chris, he gave her his phone number.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that
he was
like,
funny. If there's ever a chance, And he gave her his phone number, and she took it. She was so nice to take it. And then he just walked around. I don't even think he walked. He floated around the rest of the night.
He's levitating.
Just hovered. Levitated around in love, talking about how Scarlett took his phone number.
Did she ever call him? Probably not.
No, she never called him. But, you know.
It made his day.
Yeah, it made his day. Chris, at that point, he was the Kevin James of Arclight.
That's true.
He's a comedian.
And Kevin James, likable dude.
Yeah, likable guy. So, of course, she's going to take his number. What's the next one?
Wonder Woman 1984.
Mm-hmm. That looks good. That looks tight. That's going to do very well.
You know, we got Oberyn Martell playing one of your favorite villains. Someone that, interesting enough, that Darren. Mr. Darren played in a special short called...
The Blue Beetle Tech Cord Returns.
You know, we'd have a shameless plug-in for one of our...
Yeah, I created a series, I don't know if you guys know, called The Blue Beetle Tech Cord Returns. And Darren played one of the villains. He played Maxwell Lord. Played one of the heroes, Black Licorice.
Yes,
as well.
Indeed.
So you guys, if you want to see us walking around in spandex acting a fool, definitely check it out.
They were in spandex.
Lots of fun.
But here's the thing, too. Okay, once again, premise out there. Of course, Wonder Woman will make money.
Mm-hmm.
My big thing is, all you have to do, and I really liked the first Wonder Woman movie, and rewatching it, I still enjoyed it. But all you have to do, Wonder Woman... is fix the one problem I had with you, and I'll be in love with you. And, of course, that would be the massive fight at the end of the movie.
Yep.
The
oversaturation.
That was villain. Inconsequential, too, in my humble opinion.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We thought we were getting the main villain with Danny Houston.
Yes.
And we did not. And then we got this CGI bullshit, which was like Doomsday
again.
And that was
DC's biggest problem with a lot of their movies, these CGI villains.
I don't know who was in charge at this point, but I'd love to just fucking go in there and slap the shit out of them. Just backhand him like a little bitch.
Now, honestly, like, I mean, Gal Gadot, now that is an actress I really like for that character. No question about that.
Also in a Fast and the Furious film.
Of course.
With Vin Diesel.
That's where she started.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, obviously, I think all of us will be excited in the sense that we will be seeing this movie almost as it comes out, you know.
Immediately.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, DC... there's so many properties I would like them to have a movie come out for faster, but hey, I'll take what they give me.
DC's something else. I'm going to tell you right now. DC has some of the best B and C level heroes and villains you've ever seen.
Unfortunately, you don't know about them. Unfortunately, you just don't know about them. It's not yet.
Not yet. And I hope that DC can course correct and really crank that stuff out, because if they can do it, we'll have a revitalization of comic book movies.
And that's where the extension of the 2020s, where you could have a fresh new characters.
Absolutely.
With those B and C DC characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if they were to follow my idea or idea we talked about for years, Amazon Prime, you were to give some of these B and C characters a chance.
Yeah.
But also, too, to answer your question you originally asked in this podcast, I don't think there's an oversaturation of comic movies. I think there's an oversaturation of a certain type.
Ah,
I believe... Okay. Because I feel the fatigue from people that I talk to about the MCU. And obviously, Endgame was your magnum opus. For me, a disappointing magnum opus. But DC, remember, they don't live in the same world as Marvel.
No, they don't.
So you absolutely could freshen it up. Now, I'm kind of going to agree with Donald. I think going with the independent comic books being the difference, that's always an iffy proposition. In fact... having so many indie comic book films in the 90s was shocking to me personally. Because I'm like, where are they grabbing these titles from? It was really kind of bizarre. But
there's some cool ones in the 2000s.
I'm not saying they don't exist. Of course they
do. History of Violence of Viggo Mortensen?
Oh, see, I quite like that film.
Yeah.
Joey, you've done a bad thing, Joey. Now, my whole thing is that, so DC, of course, this is their opportunity to seize on it. Now, I'm sure Donald and you, Kevin, will absolutely agree with me on this. DC won't necessarily succeed at it, but the opportunity's there. The road is paved.
Time will tell.
The road is paved.
Time will tell.
Just walk the road.
Time will tell. Morbius.
I'll go see it. I'm very excited for my Spider-Man 101 and what it will bring me when I eventually sell it and have enough money, then I can purchase your entire life.
I doubt that.
I'm going to become you.
I don't know if I'm excited about the movie because Morbius is such a weird character to me.
But it's being played by Jared Leto. Jared Leto is a fine actor.
Look,
he actually is. A lot of people gave him shit for the Joker, and I get that to a point. I don't think a lot of that was his decision.
No.
And I thought he did all right. It didn't upset me that he acted the way he did. I think that Dallas Buyers Club, I believe, he was phenomenal.
And
was
this year's 20th anniversary of a great movie, although you can only watch it once every 10 years, that he was in. Requiem of a Dream.
Darren Aronofsky's.
Yeah, Darren Aronofsky.
But also, dude, I'm going to use like an analogy here, just a film analogy that we all think of, because we're talking about comic books. It's like with Jared Leto, I put him in a similar category as Joel Schumacher. And what I mean by this let me tell you what I mean by this.
You like the early work of Joel Schumacher?
If you're just going to react like this and not let me talk. So my thing is like, obviously Joel received a lot of hell for Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. Just like Jared Leto received a lot of hell for the Joker. But how short are your memories? Do you know what I mean? Joel Schumacher, before those movies, had great stuff. He had Falling Down. He had Flatliners. He had The Lost Boys. He had DC Cab, which
Sam
I kind of like.
Fire, I believe, too.
Okay, yeah. But my point is, Jared Leto, we forget he was in Lord of War. He was in Alexander. And Alexander is not a great film, but he was fine in it. And then other movies like Requiem for a Dream and things like that.
I have that line I can't get out of my head now that you bring it up, that he says, Alexander, be reasonable.
Yeah, I think Morbius is a safe film for him acting wise. I don't think there's anything gonna come out of left field. He's not gonna go, I'm Morbius, guys, let's make balloon animals. It's not gonna happen. You know what I mean? He's gonna be broody. He's gonna be a fucking living vampire.
He will use method acting.
But he's gonna be fine.
He's gonna go method.
His career is fine.
But Donald, the real question is, will the soundtrack have 30 Seconds to Mars?
Oh, it better. It goddamn better.
Okay.
If it doesn't, I'm out.
Out.
I'm out.
What about Nine Inch Nails?
No.
Man.
No, they're too busy with the Watchmen series.
Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They did a lot of that. I don't know if you know.
No, I didn't know that.
Did a marvelous job.
Well, they did the Black Giandola, too.
If anybody...
Atticus Roscoe.
Yes. You're right. Yeah, I don't know if that's available. If you can view that on YouTube or anything, I don't know.
It can view segments.
Yeah?
As far as I know. All right, Kevin.
Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins.
Oh, yes, yes. That's exciting, because it's got... this is going to sound so racist. It's got an all, like, Asian cast, basically.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, Japan.
Yeah, and Hollywood gets so much shit for whitewashing. You know, they really do. But with this one, I feel like they went out of their way to make sure it's as close to the idea of the story as possible.
Oh, so it's not going to look like one of your all-time favorite comic movies, The Wolverine, that took place in Japan.
That's so low on my list. Darren, that is so low on the list. That movie is terrible. You know I know that.
Would you tell the James Mangold's face?
I absolutely would.
Bring the heat. Bring the heat.
I would tell it to his face.
You know,
James Mangold, if you want to come over.
He didn't walk the line.
If you want to come over, I'll tell you to your face that movie sucks shit.
I'm sorry, I'm collecting residual checks from
James
Mangold.
He didn't walk the line.
He did a lot of stuff. He did 310 to Yuma.
That's right, 310 to Yuma.
310 to Yuma was great. It was also a film before it was film. You know, remaking a film is a lot easier than doing it.
So that's interesting, like, you know, that you would bring that up, because the Snake Eye origin, obviously, you know, you don't want to sleep on comic book movies in October, because I did sleep on Joker, and 11 Oscar nominations later, somebody seems
funny,
to like it.
Snake Eyes came out the same time Joker came out last year, interestingly enough.
What's
same
October?
In October, yeah.
What is this?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Snake Eyes.
Huh? Yeah, that was my point.
What's next on the list, though? Is there anything else?
Eternals.
Oh, God. That's the turd. That's the one that's going to stink up the bathroom.
You think that might be...
I have no opinion.
I think that might be Marvel's first big failure.
Eve with Angelina Jolie.
Yes. I've been hearing a lot of just fanboys hating on it and not wanting to even see it.
So you better sell your books now, then. Your entire Eternals collection, then.
Absolutely. If you have Eternals books... I would wait till trailer hits. What I would do.
See, that's what I did with the Suicide Squad movie. And remember, I told you when I saw it, I said, oh, it's time to make a change.
Yeah. And that was smart. But, you know, Suicide Squad, thankfully, it's getting another life. So
that's true.
There's going to be some value to that again.
That's true.
Eternals won't have that. They're not going to do a second one after the first one fails.
All right.
Like, the first one will make just enough money to survive. And then Marvel will look at it and be like, let's not Inhumans. Everyone, let's keep moving.
But this is an interesting point that I would like to bring up now that you mentioned the Eternals. We have to keep in mind, the Eternals, they're not the X-Men. They're not the Fantastic Four. They're not Spider-Man. People have far less patience for B-grade Marvel stuff. Now,
Guardians of the Galaxy worked out.
That's what I was going to get to. Of course you can have that. There was a streak. Marvel was hitting hot. Even Ant-Man, of course, was hitting hot. But the point I'm getting at here is the deeper you dig, you cannot crank out one hit at a time all the time. And that's why I'm going to come with Donald on this one. I think Eternals will get massively overlooked. And November is a weird release date. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when Thor the Dark World came out in November. It was a weird release date, you know? And so here's a forgettable movie.
Ragnarok did very well, but it was a lighter film.
True.
It seemed fun.
That's true.
Everybody around November, December, they want fun, light films. Nobody wants to watch a motherfucking drama around Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Well, actually, a lot of the Oscar films come out around that time.
No, nobody wants to watch that shit. A lot of those Oscar movies. Families, I'm talking. Oh. Families that are going to go to Marvel films.
Right, of course.
They want light stuff. They want, you know, fun stuff. And if the Eternals ends up being too heavy, they're going to fuck themselves right in the ass.
Wow,
that's a brutal way to say it.
Also, too, with Marvel films, a lot of Marvel films, you need name recognition. And honestly, I don't think John Q. Public knows who the Eternals are.
That's true, they don't.
And they don't. You need star power and you need name recognition for something like this. And they have somewhat star power, but not
enough.
But not enough. And they don't have the name recognition.
All right.
So they're in trouble on this one, and they know it.
All right.
Hey guys, I'm just a quick interruption here. I just want to mention, We Can Be Heroes, the best comic shop in the valley, possibly the world. We Can Be Heroes is in Chatsworth, California. Come on down for 20% off on a pull list, vintage toys, new toys, collectibles, vintage comics, gaming, and more. Guys, they really got it going over there. It's a great spot just to hang out. It's like the Cheers of comic shops. We Can Be Heroes, Chatsworth, California. All right, that was great. Do we have anything on that list? We need to name it quickly. I've got things to do.
Okay, I'll go over them quickly. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
That's going to be a hit.
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Also a hit.
Even though there's been a director change, but regardless.
Kevin's going to love it, I know. I know you're on that.
The Batman, paid by your favorite male actor, Robert Pattinson.
It's going to make money. I don't know if it's going to be that huge.
The Riddler's going to be in it. Hopefully it's done right this time.
Mm-hmm.
The Spider-Man 3, the third, I guess, whatever this version of Spider-Man 3 is.
that'll be
depends
hit,
on the villain.
The Suicide Squad.
Stoked. Sure. Totally stoked.
Thor, Love and Thunder. I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, it's got Jane
taking, Foster.
Yeah, taking the mantle.
Although rumor has it that Beta Ray Bill might be in there, played by one of your favorite actors, Donald Christian Bale, allegedly. We'll
Christian
see.
Bale is going to play Beta Ray Bill?
That's the rumor.
That sounds stupid.
That's the rumor. It's a rumor. It may not be true.
Now, I don't know if it's 2021 or 2022, but I've heard there is a Flash movie coming, which, of course, I'm very excited.
It's funny you mentioned 2022.
Here's excited until I'm not.
You can almost hear the tiredness in my voice from 2021.
Wait. 2021 ends right, though, for you. And what? Jarrett will get
Blue Beetle take court returns.
No,
web series
Black
turned
Adam,
into a movie.
Black Adam comes out.
I'll see it, but you know, I mean, honestly, like Black Adam is not going to blow me away in movie.
What
form.
If it does?
He's
the
actually
Rock's in it. The Rock
he's
is.
Actually a
the
very
Rock's
complicated,
in.
Very cool character.
That's right.
In one that I can totally get behind in movie form. So
I,
I'm
no,
on
no,
board
but,
for that.
And I hope. Look, I hope it does. Look, I don't want to sit here and trash these.
You
I
are
want
trashing
to.
Them.
I want to watch them. I want to watch
How
them
dare
and make,
you?
Make my judgment. But, you know, we're here to give our opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 2022 has one final one that we'll all be excited for.
What's that?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse sequel. We'll probably see the Spider-Man 2029.
Yeah.
2099.
I watched that at City Walk, Universal Studios, the first one. Had a blast watching it. I think me and my friend Elise watched it together. It was a good time.
There you go.
And
Jason Momoa, Aquaman 2.
I am going to say, Aquaman 2, that's a good one. I am going to say that Marvel and DC alone won't oversaturate, but they have to keep it consistent. If not, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And the fact that all these other movies are going to start coming out, all the other television series and things are going to keep going and keep coming out, we're going to hit an oversaturation point. We will. It's inevitable.
So kind of like the Western genre back in the day?
Yes, it's inevitable. But here's the thing. as long as we keep making money on this stuff, it's going to continue to keep getting done. So as long as there's some profitability. So you have to have quality. Mm-hmm. If there's quality behind it, you're going to be okay. The minute they start skimping and the quality goes down and people stop going, of course we're going to have less product. And then eventually that oversaturation will hit that point where, and then comic book movies are gone.
But you've also trained your audience now to watch comic book movies. Like, those are the big events.
Yeah.
So you're, in essence, you're really molding a lot of genres together, and I prefer action films that are not necessarily comic book movies. And you're not getting that because your action movie is now your comic book movie.
Right.
Your science fiction movie is becoming your comic book movie.
Yep.
So at some point,
I all the science fiction films are relegated to January and February and things like that. Yes. And Star Trek has a hard time succeeding because of this kind of thing. It's a very interesting time that we're living in.
And very few films anymore are true science fiction. You're talking about something that just takes place in the future and they call it science fiction, but it's a big action movie.
Yep.
I don't want that. You know, like, I mean, this is where the oversaturation, I've felt the oversaturation. I'm done with it, even though I'm watching everything, because that's what we do here.
Right.
But I'm getting over it quickly.
Right. I'll tell you what, there's one thing that I feel that we will never have oversaturation on, and that is a lot of things comic book related, but a lot of things when it comes to comedy. I think comedy is the gap that bridges everything. Mm-hmm. I will say that, speaking of comedy, I find us to be hilarious, and I hope you all find us to be hilarious, too. And if not, that's okay, too. But we definitely want you to reach out to us. We want you to reach out to us through
Instagram, Kevin. Facebook. You can listen to all of our previous podcasts on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, Spreaker, Google Play Music, and, of course, directly through our website, rumblespoon.com.
Yes, so please do that. And, you know, if there is any type of oversaturation, you know, maybe we can talk about it when we see you.
At the lovely, righteous, homely, special comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.